You are listening to a sermon by Annika Kraus, recorded on Sunday, January 27, 2019, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
So, Psalm 133 is actually one of my favorite passages. It is definitely my favorite psalm. It's wisdom poetry, part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, meant to guide us in proper living. In this instance, it is teaching about what a blessing it is for God's people to live in unity together, not fighting with each other or tearing each other down. When the people of God see their many blessings and see all that God has done for them, how very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. The line reminds me of the sixth day of creation, when God looked at what he had made and declared it to be very good. You see, it was more than just the beauty of the individual things that God had made that gave him pleasure. It was also that everything was ordered just as it should be. All things were working the way God intended them to. Out of chaos, God had spoken order. People were in right relationship with God, each other, and the rest of creation. Everything was in its place, and there was shalom for a moment. It seems to me that this passage is making reference to order and shalom as well. God created people to need each other, to bring out the best in each other, to love each other, and lift each other up. God created people in his own image so that we would constantly be pointing each other to God, and God created us to be in relationship with him. How very good it is when we walk in line with the order of God. There's some debate about why this psalm was written, but most believe it was written for a festival. Jewish people would come from all around to participate. There would be pilgrims from Israel coming together to celebrate and worship God together. So chances are that this passage is talking about all persons of the 12 tribes of Israel when it talks about unity. It is not just talking about unity in a household or unity in your church or in your tribe. It's talking about the unity of the people of Israel. There are many things that divide us, many issues and conflicts that threaten to tear apart the body of Christ, the body which is meant to be in unity with God and its members. If you recall in the sermon last week, we were talking about the Mennonite church functioning as the left tricep in the body of Christ. We share in the role of making the church function as a unit. Here in MCBC, the conflicts we've been dealing with, or rather the ways the conflicts have been acted on, have been dividing us. They're causing harm to the body. I could tell you multiple stories of people within the Mennonite church treating each other harshly. We sometimes forget what it says in 1 Corinthians. We are members of the body of Christ and individually members of it. And consequently, if one member suffers, all suffer together. It seems to me that in the midst of disagreement, we have forgotten that the reactions or the pain we inflict on others affects us all, including the one causing harm, because together we are one. Fellowship with each other is an integral part of our relationship with God, a part we cannot forgo. And for this reason, I, like you, lament our churches being divided and our fellowship being broken. I see both Psalm 133 and the passage from 1 Corinthians speaking into the issue of unity in our church, here in BC, in 2019, especially with the AGM coming up. It is speaking into our lives today and reminding us of the wisdom of unity, of worshiping God with our sisters and brothers, of living into the order God has given to the world. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It's a powerful image. And Curtis, I think that it's one that we can feel if we think about it. If we close our eyes and contemplate what it means to have oil poured over our heads, you can almost feel it running down your own head, over your face, soaking the collar of your clothing. It's meant to represent the excess of blessing coming from God. The blessing of God is like precious oil poured out in abundance. And when you look deeper into the history of this passage, it becomes even richer. It's an image of an ordination. Aaron was the first high priest over the Israelites. In Exodus 29, you read about the ordinations of Aaron as high priest and his sons as priests. There are sacrifices and offerings on the altar, and oil poured over Aaron and his priestly vestments, and yet another layer of meaning in the vestments themselves. In Exodus 28, we read about the priestly robes made for Aaron to set him apart as high priest. They're made from fine linen, dyed purple, and embroidered with pomegranates, and have bells stitched into the seams. He's given a turban to wear, with a rosette of pure gold, and engraved on it, like the engraving of a signet, "Holy to the Lord." He was to wear this on his forehead, on the front of his turban. And there's a breastplate, and it's described like this. "It shall be square and double, a span in length, and a span in width. You shall set in it four rows of stones. A row of carnelian, chrysolite, and emerald shall be the first row, and the second a turquoise, a sapphire, and a moonstone. And the third row a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And on the fourth row a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold filigree. There shall be 12 stones with names corresponding to the names of the sons of Israel. They shall be like signets, each engraved with its name for the 12 tribes. And in his turban with the rosette, and in his fine robes with the breastplate with the names of the tribe of Israel, Aaron was ordained. He had the oil poured over his head, over the turban, pouring down over his beard, the collar of his robes, down over the gems of his breastplate, to signify the blessings of God poured out for Israel, for each member of the 12 tribes. Through poetry, the psalmist calls each of us to live a priestly life. This psalm is telling us that we, as people living under God, are called to live into unity with each other. It broadens the meaning of being a member of God's people. It sets us apart. It's a calling that should weigh on each and every one of us. It is a blessing from God poured out for us, beckoning us to the sacred duty of creating unity within our corporate body of faith. We are each of us called into the priesthood in this way. It parallels so well with the Anabaptist idea of being a priesthood of all believers. It's not about the individual priest or person. It is about understanding that unity does not just come from leaders dictating that or guiding us into this. It's about each of us accepting our own calling from God and allowing our heads to be anointed with oil, letting that oil pour down our faces, over our clothing, over our breastplates that are covered with the names of conferences, churches, and people who are part of the Holy Church. Even the names of people we disagree with, even the names of people who have hurt us. We've been asked to seek the oil of blessing for the Mennonite Church and to allow it to flow evenly over those with whom we agree and those with whom we disagree. We have been called to seek unity with each other, not agreement on every aspect of faith, but unity under the name of the living God who is unceasingly calling us back to shalom. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. Mount Hermon is a high place in Israel, and it was believed that the dew descended from the mountain onto the land every morning. It's a metaphor for the mystery of God's blessing upon his people. This blessing feeds the soil and helps the people's crops to grow. The movement of things from above coming down parallels God's blessing coming down on his people. And it's important to understand that the psalmist, when he talks about life forevermore, he's not talking about everlasting life the way we think about it in the Christian church. Rather, the psalmist is talking about the unending existence of the Jewish people. If Israel can find its way to living into community within itself, with God and with creation, it will keep increasing generation after generation. And this is a promise that we can hold on to for ourselves today. If we want our churches to increase, if we want this blessing of generation after generation, we need to stop fighting within our body. We need to seek out unity rather than focus on what is dividing us into factions. In these three verses, you can see the three requirements for restoring order: relationship with our brother and sister, relationship with creation, and relationship with God. All three of these are needed in order for things to be restored to shalom. Moreover, it's impossible to be in right relationship with God if we have broken relationships with the other two. As a church body, we cannot be in right relationship with God if we cannot properly love our sisters and brothers. And that's a lot to take in. It's easy to give up. I feel the weight on myself. It's a tall order. If you're anything like me, you know, it's easier to walk away with all the pain and all the struggling that's going on. But that's not. God knows that we'll never be able to fix all the problems on our own. God knows more problems are going to come in the future. Managing all of these things is impossible for us, but not for God. God sets an impossible standard, and then knowing that standard is impossible for us in a fallen world provides the means of grace through Christ. We have an advocate in Jesus who sees our struggles and pushes us towards the Father through his sacrifice and through the Holy Spirit. God knows our church will never be perfect. We can all think of ways we'd like to see it improved. We all want the church to go in a certain direction, though we don't always agree on what that direction is. But we are called to navigate the struggle together. Unfortunately, the reality of the here and now is that we are breaking faith with each other. We are dividing into factions, and through those broken bonds, we are wrenching our relationship with God. But the story does not end there. Each of us has been called to participate in God's reordering of the church and the world. Each of us has a role to play in the ongoing faith narrative. Each of us has been blessed into the priesthood of all believers to make peace with our brothers and sisters, even with that one person that you're convinced will never see reason. We need to answer God's call to shalom. It is grueling, hard, and often painful work. But if Christ is the center of our faith, community is the center of our lives, and reconciliation is the center of our work, we need to work to restore right relationships within our body. It is sacred work that God has entrusted to us, empowering us through the Holy Spirit. God's hand is reaching out into our brokenness because God knows how very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. Amen.